and welcome to episode 7 of The Inner Odyssey, a podcast about developing self-awareness, self-confidence, and self-determination through living honestly and practicing self-love. Thank you for dropping by. Thank you for all your feedback on past episodes. In the last episode, we discussed cognitive distortions, habitual thought patterns that help to maintain self-limiting core beliefs and destructive behaviors and actions. We discussed 10 patterns of cognitive distortions and showed that 3 of them can be consciously applied for your benefit. These were personalization, labeling, and magnification of the positives and minimization of the negatives. At the end of the last episode, I realized that I have been asking you to conduct self-analysis and introspection without sharing with you how to master a critical skill that will see to the success of such endeavors. Today, as we continue to discuss the thinking faculty, we will look at the critical role that the act of concentration plays in achieving goals and its relationship to its allies, thoroughness and excellence. I am sure that since kindergarten, you have been entreated to concentrate, to focus on the task at hand, to apply yourself. But have anyone ever provided you with a method of how to do any of these things? More than likely, it was assumed that you automatically knew how to concentrate because it was a thing that everyone does. However, few of us knew then, and many of us adults still do not know how to concentrate. Many of us have developed this ability in a non-systematic fashion after periods of trial and error, and even fewer of us have perfected it. Most attempts at concentration are done forcefully and haphazardly, and attempts fail after overwhelmed by the deluge of random thoughts and tantalizing intrusions that pervade the mind. In this digital age where distracting influences are rampant, it is difficult to remain focused on any one task to the exclusion of everything else. Multitasking has become the thing to master, despite it being notoriously inefficient, while the maintenance of our networking groups leave us little time for quiet contemplation, idea development, and plan formulation in the safety and quiet of our minds. There are drugs now prescribed to help with distractibility, and apps that purport to help with the development of concentration, but they all fall short for many reasons that will soon become obvious. Despite popular belief, I want to assure you that despite what you have heard or have been told, everyone who can read and entertain a coherent thought for even a brief moment can cultivate the skill of concentration. As you have likely experienced, it is usually easier to concentrate on things that are not particularly beneficial, like revenge and how do I look. This is just concentration pointed in a less than productive direction. Mastering this skill for your benefit and self-enhancement is simply a matter of what you're willing to spend time on and direct your focus on. When I was little, a few score and many years ago, we played a rhythmic hand-clapping game called Concentration 64 at recess. It was a really fun, creative, and competitive game that demanded complete attention to detail. Schoolyard champions were made and notoriety had because of this game. We settled scores by this method. If you were good, everyone wanted to be on your team, hands down. Some of you may have heard or played this game in the past, but for others who have no idea to what I'm referring, here's a brief description. You and a friend or a group of friends stand in a circle and decide on a category. It could be anything, but usually names, states, flowers, nouns, etc. Things with a finite number of members. The rules were then decided, usually no repeats, no hesitation. Once the caller started and established the rhythm, the other persons in the circle contributed based on the category and maintained the rhythm, whether fast or slow. The first person to falter by either saying something previously said or dropping the rhythm was out. If everyone was on the ball and the category was exhausted, another category was introduced by consensus while keeping the same rhythm. You can go on for hours. The more people in the group, the harder things get. I will try to find a link and post it onto the website, or maybe do a recording of an actual run. It is a really fun way to focus and learn things. Before we delve into our discussion about concentration, I want to speak briefly about thoroughness. Thoroughness is the practice of doing seemingly inconsequential things as though they were the most important thing in the world, like washing the cup after use, replacing things where they go, and saying please, thank you, and excuse me. All big things have at their foundation millions of small things that alone can be regarded as insignificant. However, when small things are not well done or thrown aside and neglected, the big things that they come together to form will be weak, fragile, and imperfect, and invariably fall apart at the most inopportune moment. Sloppy, slipshod work is an indication of weakness. Weakness of the mind that is readily exhausted by effort, which leads to weakness of the character. Lack of thoroughness in the completion of a task suggests that other more pleasurable things are at the forefront of the mind and are more important than whatever seemingly inconsequential thing needs to be done. If the mind is occupied with thoughts of pleasure and leisure, it cannot wholly concentrate on the task at hand and will therefore be inclined to hurry and even neglect it. Perfection and completeness should be the goal of any task undertaken. Setting personal standards that demand that you do whatever you do so well that there is nothing left to be desired. It means aiming to do a task better than anyone else can do it. You may argue that there is someone else out there who can do this thing better than you can, and maybe that is true. However, are you nonetheless doing the task at hand to the best of your present ability? Have you eschewed from your lexicon and your reality the word impossible and its surrogates, or are they in the background waiting to justify your lack of desire or effort? Are you repeatedly reassessing tasks and their processes with an eye on how they can be improved? Are you maintaining some level of dissatisfaction with your task in order to strive to approach that objective perfection we discussed before? Thoroughness, that practice of doing and celebrating the neglectable things as though they were the most important things in the world, should be the normal. Thoroughness accelerates progress and opens the mind to possibilities. Valuing and expecting perfection, completeness, and excellence in all pursuits demand using the tools of perseverance, steadfastness, and concentration always. So, what is concentration? Concentration can be defined as the ability to focus one's thoughts and attention on a chosen subject while eliminating from the awareness distractions that arise from the external noises, body sensations, people, and unwanted thoughts. Through the cultivation of concentration, you will develop the ability to focus the mind deeply and intensely on a subject for some time, and then be able to shift the focus at will to something else. The ability to concentrate infers strength of mind. A strength conferred when the mind is firmly commanded and masterfully directed, so that things that would otherwise be impossible to accomplish with a scattered, wavering, and undisciplined mind are easily accomplished. Concentration is not something to do for its own sake, but rather an aid to doing all else that is required in the conduct of life. The act of concentration cannot be separated from a task, and thus cannot be acquired as an end to itself. It is always a faculty that serves all other purposes. Trying to concentrate for its own sake would be like listening to running water to quench your thirst, or sitting with your eyes closed in a library hoping to glean knowledge from a book. Once the faculty of concentration is mastered and applied to any task, skill, excellence, and power will surely follow. It is said that we can accomplish more by concentrating than by fitness or ability. I am sure that you have heard stories of people who did impossible feats when under duress and then could not fathom how they did so when in their normal state. Duress, especially when life-threatening, has a way of focusing and concentrating the mind like nothing else can. To develop the ability to concentrate, practice is necessary. Practice in harnessing the impulsive and emotional states of the mind, the passions, appetites, impulses, and emotions. It is impossible to concentrate when the mind is harboring anger or hatred, strong impulses and desires, peevishness, and all other forms of excitement. The mind, in order to focus and function optimally, needs to be in a state of equanimity. In this forum, the tasks to which we will apply and develop the faculty of concentration will be in the development and creation of the you wish to be. I recently encountered the concept of developing an ideal client. This is a person to whom you wish to sell your product or service to. This client is created just like the character in The Sims, except that you develop the nuances of the character rather than the bots. You will know all about this person, the whos, whats, wheres, whens, whys, hows of their life. You will know their likes and dislikes and what motivates them, how they would like to react in a given circumstance, and therefore can be assured that they would buy your product. I want you to be able to do that with yourself, so that you can not only sell yourself, but also know if you are able to provide the buyer with what they are expecting. The process of concentration can be divided into about four phases that flow seamlessly into each other when done diligently. The first two stages require effortful focus, but once accomplished, flows into the last two stages effortlessly and culminate in that place of joy and accomplishment. In anticipation of what I plan to cover, I think it would be best to spread this conversation about concentration over a few episodes so as not to overwhelm anyone and to also give you a chance to understand and practice the intervening concepts before moving on. Firstly, note that the concentrated mind pays attention to everything, thoughts, words, actions, and also create plans. For simplicity's sake, and to understand the concepts, let's decide to concentrate on a wall. Everyone has access to a 12x12-inch section of wall that he can stare at. These steps will later be applied to you. The first phase of concentration is attention. Let's think about that for a moment. Attention is that thing that we give persons, places, and things that are salient, meaningful, important to us. Just the act of giving one's attention to something gives it meaning and affirms its existence. Children, plants, cars, friendships, pets, electronics, even thoughts all die when attention is withdrawn. Can you think of one thing in nature that will continue to exist without attention? Now, choose a section of the wall that would be given your undivided attention. You want to, can, and will see it for what it is. Remember those three intentions: I want to, I can, and I will. They prime the mind to begin the act of concentrating. Now we will proceed to focus the mind on the wall in a conscious manner, like the lens of a camera on an object of interest. Earlier I mentioned that in order to facilitate the act of concentrating, distracting influences arising from external noises, body sensations, people, and unwanted thoughts need to be eliminated from the awareness. It is exactly like how you would go about eliminating the distractions to take an early afternoon siesta in the middle of the workplace, or fall asleep on a moving subway, or in the middle of a lecture. Take an assessment of your surroundings. What background noises are there? Take an inventory. If you can eliminate some that are jarringly distracting, great, but that is not necessary as you will be practicing tuning them out. Are there any people or pets around? Again, register and ignore. Next, take an assessment of yourself, your body. Are there any aches, pains, itches? Are you cold or hot? Are you comfortably positioned? If there's anything that compels your attention, then you need to attend to it. If so, do so. Are your fingers drumming on the surface or your feet tapping or heel bouncing? Place the hands in a stable but comfortable position and the feet flat on the floor or tucked in or whatever position is comfortable. Are your breaths long, even, and noiseless, or are you breathing audibly, irregularly, and effortfully? The goal is to breathe evenly, softly, and effortlessly so that the action passes out of your awareness. As you gain control of your body, you gain control of your mind. Now for the elimination of unwanted thoughts. As you can appreciate, at any given moment, there's a continuous stream of thoughts barreling through your mind. I want you to watch them go by and deliberately choose the one about the wall and latch onto it. Let it change into whatever it wants as long as it is about the wall. If it changes from wall thoughts, pick another wall thought from the stream. Don't worry about trying to stop the other thoughts. Remember, what you focus on, you bring about. So, is the wall smooth, rough, colored, flat, even, uneven, cold, or warm to touch? What can you at first glance determine about it? Does light come into contact with it? How does that light change the hue, what you see? Do you notice anything additional about the wall as the lights play over it? Does the wall have a particular scent, a texture that belies how it looks? Continue to contemplate the wall, its origin, components, creation, utility, etc. So much so that all your senses become engaged and your body sensations are of no concern. At this point, you would have reached the second stage of concentration, contemplation. This we will discuss more in the next episode. As you practice honing your attention on a particular object of interest, it will become easier to eliminate the distractions at will and effortlessly focus on what is salient. Here are a few exercises to help with the development of attention. Number one, breathing. We all breathe in and out, some rhythmically and effortlessly, others not so much, depending on the situation. Practice counting your breathing pattern. How long do you take to inhale and exhale? Starting at 1, inhale for 1 second, hold the breath for 1 second, exhale for 1 second, hold for 1 second. Repeat like 3 times. This is an uncomfortable and anxiety-producing breathing pattern. Repeat the same pattern for 2 seconds. Inhale for 2 seconds, hold the breath for 2 seconds, exhale for 2 seconds, hold for 2 seconds. Repeat again 3 times. Continue to do this pattern for 3 seconds, 4 seconds, 5 seconds, up to 10 seconds. Take note of what happens to your sense of awareness and attention, your emotional state at each time increment. Next exercise is walking. Practice walking noiselessly. Not on tiptoes, but regularly and noiselessly with both shoes on and off. Focus on how the ground or floor feels on the skin of your foot. Next exercise is communication. When speaking to someone, give them your undivided attention. Hear their words, intonation, and other verbal nuances. Look at their expression, gestures, animations, their skin. Observe their breathing pattern. Is it strained or relaxed, audible or not? Take note of whether the additional attention makes them nervous or calmer. In general, what does it take to do these activities? Both mental and physical awareness requires attention. That's all for today. Thank you so very much for listening. Remember, I am good enough, I am strong enough, I am powerful enough, I am capable enough, I am loved, lovable, and loving. Thank you again for joining us today on the Inner Odyssey. share the show, and subscribe to our podcast on anchor.fm/theinnerodyssey, Spotify, iTunes, and wherever you get your podcasts. Until we meet again, care enough to act with virtue, dream despite your deepest fears, live honestly with dignity and grace, and above all, love without expecting reciprocation as you continue your inner odyssey.